Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
Hi, it's great to be here. I'm very honored to be able to present for the whole team of patients like me. We're now a team of about 25 people who've been working at this for about 2.5 years. I also feel a little bit like kind of a rock star with the, all the videos, so that's a new one for me. So Patients Like Me has been around for a little while now, and it is a for-profit company. We're interested in creating new knowledge by leveraging the experience of individual patients. It was built by a couple brothers and a friend from MIT after their third brother came down with ALS, which is, or also known as MND in Europe, a neurodegenerative disease that's often fatal. And they were frustrated by the lack of resources for patients to come together online and be able to benefit from one another's experience, and also just to be more engaged in their own healthcare. So the problem that we've been looking at is, that people are in this relatively isolated situation with often rare diseases, and they have the resources of, say, their own physician, of their family and friends, of the information they can glean, but they're doing this relatively on their own. And we are trying to look at what can happen when these patients actually team up and decide to work together in this process of taking the best care for themselves as they can. So when we talk about sort of artistry in this context, I see it as a way of trying to support patients as they become more engaged in their own healthcare, become more generative in this process, such that they can make the best decisions for themselves. And in some cases, these are caretakers doing that for their loved ones. And it also engages kind of a discussion that's been going on for, several days here, in that instead of, a lot of people are concerned about privacy, and rightly so when it comes to healthcare, but we are also interested in what can happen when patients decide to explicitly share their data with one another and see what can happen when it actually, when you aggregate that experience such that people can learn from one another. I will tell you a little bit about the model and one of our sites and some of the use cases that we've seen on the website so far. Let me tell you a little bit more. So what we do is everyone on the website has a profile, a kind of medical healthcare profile on the site. This is one that's been particularly well developed. And any user on the site can connect with any patient that resembles him or her. So you can do a kind of search, it's like an online dating site. You can find people going through the same things, having the same symptoms and treatments as you are. And we also collate all of that data such that we can report back what the common experiences are across a condition. I'll tell you a little bit about that specifically in our multiple sclerosis community, which is now a little over a year old and has about 7,300 people in it who are, this is one of our most dynamic communities. There's hundreds of thousands of forum posts, and people are talking about, a lot of different types of treatments and a lot of experiences on there. And the way that a patient uses the site is that we actually construct, we go out and we gather as much information as we can about this particular condition, and we design or use structured surveys to help people input their data, and we create these graphical kind of profiles of their experience over time so that you can review your health and see how it's changing, responding to treatments, that type of thing. We then collate this, as I said, and so you can see all of the common symptoms, all of the treatments that are available or occurring in this condition, and we can also try to make some graphical representations so that we can get a sense of overall trends and what's going on with different patients in the same kind of condition as you are. Then all of this serves as a kind of a layer for their upon which people can discuss this data. So it's a social community too. I mean, it's, you know, whatever we are compared to like Facebook or MySpace when people don't quite see the other layer, because people are discussing all this stuff all the time, and you know, and there's a very social element to this and supportive emotional support element to this as well. To illustrate some of those, I'm just going to run through a few examples of how people are kind of using this tool and even pushing us to create new tools to serve their purposes. This is an example from our HIV community, and on this community, people track their viral load, their CD4 count over time, and that's what you see at the top. And they also track all their treatments. So people have a lot of theories about how their drugs are functioning in the real world, and if you make this kind of profile, all of a sudden you can kind of test these theories. So in this case, one person decided to take what is often considered a drug holiday. It's supposed to kind of help your drugs work better. And then he can sort of track what happens to his viral load as a consequence of this. So something that's considered relatively positive actually has a sort of a negative effect on his viral load. And so he actually goes into the forum and tells everyone, look, this is what I did, this is how it's illustrated, you might want to see my experience before you decide whether you want to go on a similar drug holiday. These might be the consequences. Another case, and this is in case of people then using this aggregated data to make a more informed healthcare decision, we have a treatment report on every treatment that people have entered. So that includes things like the dosage that everyone's on, and as well as increasingly sophisticated ways to kind of evaluate treatments and that type of thing. So this person had always been on what he considered or thought was a standard dose of an MS drug. But once he comes onto the site, and this is sort of like our ideal, we're like, this is what we would love to support, and so to see it was really fantastic. And he looks at this chart and he sees, oh, I'm on 10 milligrams. This is actually a relatively low dose and I'm symptomatic, so maybe I can actually tinker with this. He goes to his doctor, tells the doctor, has evidence with which to discuss this healthcare decision with his physician, and makes that decision. And luckily it, you know, was beneficial, so we like to see that. Then the third kind of individual one is, once people become a little bit more critical, hopefully, and consider this evidence and use this evidence in conversation, they also start talking to each other. And welcomed or unwelcome, they do a little bit of critique. So this person is looking at another person and sees that their weight is falling drastically. And that happens a lot in ALS, as people just can't get the nutrients that they need, and they then require assistive technologies to do so. And so one patient is looking at another patient's data, and this, you know, and tells this patient, like, you might want to consider doing this. This has a beneficial effect. And this happens on all kinds of health forums that people are giving each other advice. But the difference here is that the person being commented on isn't necessarily explicitly asking for advice, and this other person is volunteering it, which may have, you know, at some points be unwelcomed advice, but it also gives advice that someone doesn't even know. So other patients, for example, have had symptoms that they don't even consider symptoms, but they're reporting them. They just tolerate them because they think that that's something that they have to go through as somebody with this condition. A second patient will go on and say, oh, you're having these bed sores. That was one example. I do this. You may want to consider this as well, because I see that you're having this problem and you don't have to live with it. So there's that kind of data-driven social support and logistical support that's possible through this kind of mechanism. The last case I'll get into a little bit more deeply, because it was also very exciting for us, and frankly, like, kind of shocking, because we didn't think that this would happen sort of so quickly in our tenure. But what did occur is that a very savvy patient noticed an Italian study had been reported in an Italian neurological meeting, and some newspaper had picked it up from that meeting. And someone had read this newspaper article and saw, oh, there's a new possible treatment for ALS. ALS is a devastating disease. People are relatively eager to find anything that might be useful. So they find this study that's come out, isn't actually going to come out for 3 more months, but they found it in November that there was a newspaper article, and they start talking about it in our forums, and they say, like, what's going on? Is this useful? Does anybody know what this is about? I actually want to show. At that point, we have this treatment report, but it's pretty skeletal. There are 5 people a week or two into this process who are on lithium. We know a little bit about their dosage, whatever, but we really don't know the information that's appropriate to know about this drug. We're not following the right variables for anyone to decide whether this is a positive or a negative thing. Eventually, the study actually comes out in a journal. This is February of this year, and patients are looking at this data. I can't really point from here, but you know, the top line is supposedly ALS patients who are given lithium being freely, you know, available for a prescription for psychiatric purposes, that they're staying better, and these other people are, you know, the disease is creeping up on them. So these patients are obviously interested in what's going on. And they start coming to us, and they start deciding that they are going to do a study on this. They are putting themselves on lithium, and they are going to try it, and they're going to see if it works. Now, this is kind of a nightmare from the point of view of the medical establishment, who would like to think that they are in control of what drugs every patient takes, and that there's a clinical trial process for this. At the same time, this is a desperate disease. It's a drug that's available for other purposes. It's an off-label use. It's it's not an extreme kind of, the ethics are complicated. So, but they're doing it anyway. So we start to build some tools. Well, that's kind of a funny look at our tool. But we start to build certain tools to help people in doing this. So this is sort of an ugly chart, but I just wanted to include everyone that is now on this drug. So there's now like 283 patients who are decided to take lithium. They are debating it hotly in the forum. So it's also been very interesting in terms of informed consent, which is something probably happens all over the world where people participate in studies. Well, in this self-organized study, patients are debating it hotly every day in the forum. And then we created some tools so that you could track each person's progress and how much data is in the system and so forth. So what's happening, at least in the States, is there are several centers all over the States who are trying to replicate this study, and they're recruiting subjects, and they're underway, barely, and we already have data that might be conclusive about lithium. So we've kind of done this first real-world clinical trial. So that's the bulk of what I wanted to show you. I was just going to finish off by showing you an actual, you know, patient's view of all of this, which is interesting. Oh, or not. This is the concern. Yeah, that would be it. But that's not it because there's no sound.
And there was a message there from the person that started the Patients Like Me website, and looking for people to come and start trying it out. I literally went to it that night, and I filled out all the questions, and I got my rating of where I was. I had no idea what level I was at the disease, and then it was nice because it allowed me to start tracking my improvements, my medications. I print the sheet and take it with me to my doctor's appointments. I update it when I feel there's a need to it, but I go out and I read a lot. I like to read other people's stories. I like to go out and see what else is happening with people my own age. I've made some friends. It's nice. I've made some friends. I've never met these people, but we talk back and forth. It's a really nice way to be in a situation where you don't feel like you're alone. There's a lot of people on there now. It was a couple hundred in the very beginning, and now it's thousands. It's amazing how far it's gotten out there. I tell everybody about it. So it's a great website. It's a great tool for your own health. It's a great tool.
Thank you. And I just want to say this is our whole team. And we're relatively unique in the sort of startup world for having maybe we have about 6 full-time researcher, kind of PhD level people, a lot of engineers and a few marketing folks. So it's like a very, it's a overeducated team. Anyway, so thank you.